Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron, and in the studio from the Environment Centre, I've got Jasmine. Good morning. Oh, didn't even give you the microphone.
Morning.
Morning. Bring it in nice and close there.
Yes, that was, I will. There we go. Can you hear me now?
I could hear you all the time. I just wanted you to be able to sit upright instead of on a crazy angle. So the microphone
half was standing.
Yeah. So how's things at the Environment Centre at the moment?
It's so busy. Yeah? We are so busy. Yeah.
What's brought that about? You just had too many ideas.
And there's only two of us.
Yeah.
So we just have lots of events on. Like I don't know, we like connecting with our community face to face.
Yeah. It's there's so many different forms of connection these days that it's turned into this big blur, and I've found the most reliable thing is talking to people in person.
100%.
If you can.
Yes. Yeah. And I actually, something that I find really interesting is I for about a month I lost access to visibility of all events on Facebook, and it was really confusing. I did some digging and I found all of these Reddit posts talking about people for the last couple of years who were losing access, and then I found a podcast based in the UK from a group of people talking about how during lockdown Meta, like the use of people going online rose so dramatically across the globe, and there was an increase of online stuff, like events happening. There was a shift. And then, of course, over the last year, a couple of years, we've been coming out of that back into real life meetups, and the activity for Meta has been dropping. So what they've started doing is they've been trying to really push the online connection.
Oh, so they're kind of hiding the...
They've been hiding a lot of events. They're trying to force you to pay for starters.
Downgrading its rating in the algorithm.
So the algorithm isn't bringing you... And some people are just flat out losing visibility to, like, that you can't even... You don't even have the tab anymore.
I understand this. I saw some stats recently for the money being spent on live music around the world, and it was just the top 100 kind of performers, but that's the mainstream, right? And 22 to 23 was like a 50% increase, and there was 20 and 21 were really low because of COVID, but 22 was back up to normal, and then 23 was just this huge jump.
Yep.
And people wanting to get out and see something real.
Yeah, they're wanting to get out and see something real, but
despite Facebook's best efforts.
Yeah, and unfortunately, our live events and festivals and gigs and that are actually really suffering. One of the reasons is because people aren't committing, so they're not buying tickets until the last minute. So
the model now relies on
don't know if people are coming, and they're investing. You invest so much into resources into organising a gig and a festival, and it's actually, I don't think people comprehend how frustrating it is for an event manager to not know if people are coming or not until the last minute.
It's like the pre-internet days.
Yeah, you can't cancel an event and your performers and get reimbursements, and there's all these things. So I think it's really time to shift. Like, we've become, most people only hang out on Facebook because of events. It's largely why people are still on Facebook is because of events. So
And to argue.
But I think it's time to like try and shift how we find out about events going on, so that we don't have this global, multinational, multi-billion company called Meta controlling our social life and our inhuman connection.
It's not that they particularly want to control.
No, they want us to pay for the events to be seen.
They have
as well.
Be financially viable, and they've taken a big hit in the last few years.
Well, that's.
So that's always what drives this sort of thing.
Yeah,
is that big companies like, we're down, we need to be up.
Yeah. So I think we do need to start looking at how we can share events more in different formats. I don't know what that looks like just yet, but one way I have discovered of trying to reach people directly about our events is if people go to our Humanitics profile and click follow, then that means every time we upload a new event, they get a direct email informing them week has created a new event. Here are the details.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we're going to keep talking about local stuff, obviously, but you've got to be everywhere.
Yep.
these days. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's right. You have to be everywhere.
We're one part of the puzzle. Mm. Yeah.
And you guys have got a really great online event.
What's on guide. You go to our front page and you'll find what's on the menu.
Yep. So that's all the events around town, including ours, are listed there as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the plan.
If something's happening,
we don't know about it because.
Yeah.
Because Facebook hit it, then yeah.
Yep. And speaking of events, we've got one coming up next Thursday, and that is the sneak peek into the growers market, because the Raglan Growers Market kicks off its fourth season. I can't believe it's going to be 4 years. You know, like that's amazing.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It was during
COVID.
Yep. And then so that kicks off on the 4th of Friday, back to every Friday from 5 to 7 from the 4th of October. But what we've decided to do is that on Thursday the 12th of September, which is next week, we're calling it the sneak peek. And that is basically it's on a Thursday night, same time, 5 to 7 at the Stuart Street Hall.
Yeah.
And that's just an opportunity for everyone to get together, say hi, growers to reconnect with the customers. Customers to say hi to their favourite stall holders, and we're going to have some sheets of paper up on the wall for people to add their thoughts, like, you know, suggestions and things like that. Because that gives us enough time, you know, a few weeks to kind of prepare before we actually start the market again. And we'll also be having, so it's also a finger food potluck. So we really encourage people to bring along something, you know, that you can just pick up and eat with your fingers. And to add to that is going to be Itai's making, I think, like 200 falafels.
Whoa.
just for people to, like, for free. Raglan naturally have been very, very kindly financially supporting this event as well. Mm. He's going to have his big, you know, some of his delicious hummus and a few other things. And then who have we got? Shy is going to have his carrots and his pickle, and we're going to have some Raglan bread, and I think, oh yeah, and Raglan Avocado have donated a bunch of avocados, which we're going to cut into quarters and drizzle Tanya's limes and some chili. And so come along. Don't miss out. That's going to be amazing. And I think we're just going to have a little bit of Q&A, but then we've also got Luna and Valentine performing for half an hour, which will be really, really lovely. So I don't know if people are familiar with Luna and Valentine. They are Valentine. They are local youth that are really amazing, talented musicians.
Luna's been at Whangaroa Talent Factory
for
a while, and
she's
also been, I think, the two of them have been playing at Stone Cow.
Yeah.
I think they've been there, or they're still going to be there, and then someone was sick. I don't know, but I think they've been.
Yeah, so
and the Raglan Club's also going to be playing them.
So. Yeah, and I've been going along, Stella and I've been going to the open mic night at Stone Cow. There's been two so far, and so we've been able to see firsthand their
awesome talent. Cool.
Yeah. So Thursday next week, 12th of September from 5 to 7. We'd love to see everyone there.
Okay.
And then we have got, oh, and just a note on that, if you have been wondering about the growers market as a supplier and having a stall, this is a really great opportunity to learn from stall holders at the sneak peek.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, we've got our monthly repair cafe on Saturday the 14th from 10 a.m. And that is just, it's every month on the second Saturday of each month from 10 to 12. So that's at the Stuart Street Hall. We seem to have a consistently good turnout on that, and a consistently good amount of household items being fixed. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So, and there's some really incredible, exciting things happening in the repair cafe space that we'll be letting the community know about. Yeah.
Drop a hint.
Think community workspace.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Building repair space. Project space. So, yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be really cool.
Cool.
Ah, right. And then following on from the Saturday after a Repair Cafe, the third Saturday of this month, on the 21st of September, from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m., we are joining the rest of the Waikato with the council's incredible... You just had Sally on.
Yes.
Who's Sotemba.
Yes.
Yeah. So Sotemba's really exciting. I love this new initiative. Raglan's really, really involved in this, and including with a... We're holding a sew-a-thon. So at the sew-a-thon, we've got... So there's a bunch of us involved. So that's like the Community House, Repair Cafe, WEC, Extreme Zero Waste, and Community Energy Whangaroa. And what we're doing is we are, just for those 3 solid hours, we're trying to sew as many. We don't know how many we can do, but let's try as many as we can. Door snakes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've got so many sewing machines now, because Lyle and I have pulled them all out from the attic of the town hall, and he's given them all of what we had lots left over from
the
plastic bag free Raglan days.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yep. So he's gone through them all, worked out which ones aren't repairable and using them for parts, but then he's tuned up all the ones. And there's heaps. There's like, I think there's about 6, 7, 8, 9, 9, 10 or something. But bring along your own sewing machine if you've got your own that you like to use. More the merrier. And we're going to have all the sewing machines out on the tables, and lots of fabric and stuffing from Kahu's Nest. Let's just try. And we're going to have patterns there as well, different types of patterns. I think some people, like, you can sew your own door snake for your own home to take home, or more than one. But we are going to try and sew as many as we can to also add to the stockpile for Community Energy, because they're...
So I was going to ask how they get out to people.
Yeah, so they'll go out through Community Energy Whangaroa, the Healthy Homes and the drop-in clinic that they hold at the Raglan Community House.
Yeah.
So, door snakes are just so helpful, you know, for keeping the... It's not that you're letting hot or cold air in. You're actually trying to prevent hot air from leaving.
Yeah, well, if there's cold air coming in, the hot air must be going out somewhere else as well.
No, I remember looking at the science of this once. It gets sucked out. It sucks out drafts, suck out the hot air from your house.
Yeah. I was just thinking of our door, which faces the west, and so we get the driving wind through under the front
horrible.
Door.
That's
horrible.
Yeah. I know that
But I know it's got to be going out somewhere else, otherwise your house will explode with all the extra air coming in.
Well, apparently door snakes are really easy to sew as well, but there's a few different patterns. There's the ones that you can, like... It's a double sausage with a fabric, flat fabric underneath, so you can slide it underneath your door so it moves with the door. But my doors don't work like that, so I might prefer a traditional snake, probably really colourful and patchwork with eyes and a tongue.
It's a personal statement.
Yeah. So that's happening 21st of September from 10 to 1. We need all sewers on deck, please.
Yeah,
let's just try and set an incredible record. And who knows, we might do this every year, don't know. Or some kind of, you know, sew-a-thon. The same day, so Tanya's going to be at that event, the sew-a-thon, and then I'm going to be at another event with Stacey from Coast Care, and that is International Coastal Cleanup Day. So we... have been doing this every year for quite a few years now.
Yes, yep.
And out at Ruapoki, we've had, like, there's been ones where we've picked up 44 kgs of rubbish off that beach in 2 hours.
We've been having some storms, and it's spring, so...
Well, it just changes. You might, one day someone will be out there and they'll go, oh my God, there's so much rubbish out there, it's completely covered. And you'll go out there the next day and there's been like a tide that has just dragged everything back out to sea.
Right.
Or buried it.
So it really depends on the conditions, so you don't know.
It depends on the conditions, but there's always, without a doubt, every single time, there is a lot of rubbish to pick up.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just whether you can see it, whether there's more than other days or not, but there's always, it's just a, we've talked about this, we talk about this every year, Ruapoki, it's remote, but it has these currents that just drag. So it's not like Papahua where the beaches around there, the rubbish that you find is largely tourism created.
And it's from the site.
Yeah, and from the site on land.
Yeah, yeah.
Out at Ruapoki, you don't have people around there dumping rubbish, right? It's these currents that are dragging that ocean trash in and dumping it on the beach.
It's international rubbish.
It's international.
It's a higher quality of rubbish. yeah, not really.
So, well, mostly commercial fishing, actually.
Okay, yep.
And
you know that because you've been you analysed.
I've been but we've been analysing it. But not only that, we've got our local Great Pacific Garbage Patch head of research.
Oh, Lolo.
Lolo here, who he's brought out his own research after years of researching what they're finding in the ocean, and that is, and it's 70% fishing.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what we're looking at. It's such a beautiful day as well. We give an hour to walk the 2Ks from the south end. We all meet in the south car park.
Yep.
At 2 o'clock on the 21st, and then we give ourselves an hour to walk up to the northern end to where that big inlet is, and we turn around there and spend another hour walking back, and then we're going to be weighing the rubbish on site in the south car park while we cook a barbecue, and we'll have free sausages. Raglan Food Co. will have a free jar of yogurt. So it'd be really good.
One free jar.
I think a free jar per household.
Per household, there we
go. Yeah.
There might be a fight if there's just one jar.
They're big jars, though.
Okay, oh, cool.
So that's really, really worth going to. And I actually haven't even publicised that event, because as soon as I posted the event, I immediately had like over 70 people.
People seem to like them. Yeah, there's always good turnouts for those.
Yeah. We really, like, the more people I'm helping out, the more rubbish, because I do find that 2 hours is, especially with children, we don't tend to go over 2 hours for a beach clean because it's too long for some people. But the more people that we have working, the more rubbish, because you just do not stop finding rubbish at Ruapoki. And then we have got another workshop coming up on the Sunday after all of that, on the 22nd. It's called Seeds to Seedlings, and it's Simple Tools for Success, and that's at 2 o'clock in the community house basement, and that's with Liz Stanway. So she will be she'll be running a workshop on how to turn your seeds into seedlings.
Is there a skill? See, I don't do that sort of thing, so yeah, it's not that easy. There's good ways to do it, I suppose.
So you'll be learning seed raising mix, like how to make your own, like what is seed raising mix, like what's the difference between seed raising mix and any other types of soils that you can buy. This is actually amazing. Like, learning how to make your own seed raising mix is actually quite cool, because it's quite expensive. Definitely. That's definitely worth going to just for that, actually.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So Liz is in charge of that.
Liz runs the organics yard.
Yeah, at Extreme. Do they make seed raising mix up there?
They don't.
Okay.
No, they don't, actually.
It's not one of the things they make. Okay.
Yeah, and Liz is, so not only, but she's also a very experienced permaculturist as well. And she's a market gardener.
Yeah, she's the one that got the certification for the compost at Extreme. So
yeah,
she does understand all of the science around it.
That's right. Yeah. So you'll be also learning what most seedlings need for successful germination and growth, and picking out and transplanting master the techniques to ensure your seedlings thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds so good. That'll be really good. So remember that you can always find out exactly what all of our events are and what's happening by going to our website, which is www.whaingaroa.org, although you don't need the www. You can just type in whaingaroa.org.nz.
Should be good.
And if you click on at the top of our page, you've got like all these different things that you can click on. One of them is events. Go straight to there, scroll down, scroll through all of our events to find that information.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm just checking. You can't read that.
Oh, Science Night.
Yeah.
Yes. I am hopefully going to confirm that.
Okay, you're working on something at the moment, but not ready to announce.
I just don't have it set in stone, a date or anything. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So we'll let us know as soon as we know. We'll talk about it on the radio.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Jasmine, thank you for coming in.
Nice
and,
one.
You've got a song you want to play?
I do. This is a band that was, they kind of were big in the mid 90s. I think they formed in 94 and then they fizzled out in the mid 2000s. I think one of their members actually passed away in a car accident.
Oh, wow.
They're an American band and they're called the Spooks. And I don't think they are known at all in New Zealand. Not well, if at all, I don't know. But it was actually, I had an American friend when I was in my early 20s, around 20, who gave me their CD.
Yeah.
Or maybe I did buy the CD in New Zealand, I'm not sure. But I've never met anyone else who knows who the Spooks are. But they became my absolute favourite band for the whole of my 20s, my 30s.
Right.
I still listen to them. This song, Karma Hotel, was actually their most successful song. Look up all of their songs because they're just I really love their lyrics, love their sound. I just think they're a beautiful band.
Okay, well, let's hit it. Let's play Spooks, Karma Hotel.
All right, see ya.
And that is the end of the show too for the day, so I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back again tomorrow morning.
For enlightenment, concierge, where can I go to find adventure and excitement? But later for casinos, bars, and orgies, they bore me. Here's another 20, now what you got for me? He stared at me hard, finally dipped in his drawer for elevator keys and said, go to the 13th floor. So in a flash, I was there, cold knock on the door, bombarded by cigar smoke, the smell of hell and war. And when the fog cleared, the scene was like an eerie nightmare.
Come in, we've been waiting for you for years.
You wanted adventure, now you got it, boy, don't show me no tears.
This is the place where you face your desires and fears.
In each of his hands was a revolver, 45 in the left, 22 in the right. Russian roulette's the game tonight, and there's no escape, so don't try to run. But I fill your life with bliss if you're alive once the death wheel is spun. Choose your gun. Give me the 45, I said with a smile. There's a shiny silver bullet, might as well go out in style. One in the cylinder, spun it, aimed at my dome, and slowly clicked it. Now I feel the adrenaline rush that got me so addicted, motivating me to play a second time, then a third time, fourth time I clicked and pop, boom, money shot. Next morning, cops found me, needles sticking out my arm, peep the drama, another sad story at the Karma.
The queens dancing with tambourines and the gambler's theme. One eye open, one eye scoping, watching his gat, watching his back, watching his stack, watching his rap, watching his dap. As people notice, like,
oh shit, boy, just 100 grand.
Where?
Oh my god, a table 7, did you see him yet?
Look at his chips, oh, that green going like triplets. Two out the handle and he can't stop. The more the fans flock, the more the dice out his hands drop.
Rocking the room, he's betting and making money at every table. Women are sweating him like he was James Bond or Joe Davis.
Yeah, he's satisfied, he's in his element now. To do this for the rest of his life is how it's going down.
So it seems like he got his whole shit set, but his son is gang banging in the park holding a rain check. Meanwhile, somehow, something's kinda eerie about this place he seems to be paying a permanent visit to. Every face that he sees, expressionless, like a mannequin. He really wants to leave, but stays cool to avoid panicking. He's getting the same attention, but something seems sort of different. He's wrinkling up, losing weight, and his body's starting to stiffen. Now he notices years have passed in one night. He's made more cash than we could imagine, but never lived life.
Screams transform the yells, and every sweet cat's a stone spill. Welcome to the Karma Hotel. Looks like heaven, but could be hell. Where pleasant screams transform the yells, and every sweet cat's a stone spill. We're all trapped in peace, guys. See you later.
your name. Check the scenery.
So happy at the same time. The way they're entwined seems so good, it's a crime.
Believe in me as I believe in you. Live it up tonight.
Fuck it, I feel left out all of my life.
So true, pleasure and pain. Transform lust to thrust. One night stands of hot sex. Don't bother with trust.
No invitation accepted. Too good to reject it. So I join in unprotected.
Expect it. One life to live. Don't respect it.
Respect what?
Oh, you poor child. You've been neglected.
Please, though, why do I feel so cold? It's like your stomach climaxed to take a piece of my.